Hello, my name is Edmund Senanulochu. Welcome to LawDio, Public International Law. Let's deal with the relationship between international and municipal law. Municipal law deals with the relationship between individuals within a state, and then the relationship between individuals and the administrative bodies, and then the relationship amongst the administrative bodies. International law deals with the relationship between states and also other subjects of international law and states. Now, conflicts may arise between international law and public and municipal law. But the big question is, when this happens, which one takes precedence? Which one is supreme? There are two theories that have arisen because of this conflict, the monist and the dualist theories. Now, the monists believe that international law and domestic law are part of one legal system. They consider international law as supreme over domestic or municipal law. They believe the main aim of all laws is concerned with the well-being of individuals. Hence, they believe having international law as a supreme law is the best direction to take to obtain this aim. As such, according to this theory, international law should be a part of a state's internal laws automatically, and in terms of conflict, international law should prevail. Now, this theory is more or less used mostly by civil law countries, particularly the Germans and then the Netherlands. For instance, Article 60 of the Netherlands Constitution makes international law automatically part of their domestic laws. But in its practical sense, the same provision is a conditional clause in the sense that it can be so only when the said international law does not conflict with their domestic laws. Hence, in the practical sense, no country seems to accept the fact that its constitution should be superseded by international law. The US also considers international law as automatically part of its municipal laws. Now, let's go to the second theory, the dualist theory. The believers of this theory are positivists. So the monists are the naturalists, the dualists are the positivists. This theory suggests that international law and municipal law are two distinct laws belonging to two different legal systems. Hence, none of the two can purport to have an effect on or overrule the other. That is, while municipal law deals with regulating individual relations within a state, international law regulates that of states. As such, both laws perform separate functions and operate on different fields, and hence no one can be supreme over the other. In their view, international law has no place in municipal courts, and the same with municipal law before international tribunals. Now, these two views seem to be fictional, theoretical, and do not exist in practice. There's no single state in the world that seems to abide strictly by the views or demands of any of the two theories. In reality, states and international tribunals make provisions for how international law or municipal law can be applied in their respective courts and when it becomes necessary. According to Fitzmaurice, a radical view of the whole subject may be propounded to the effect that the entire monist dualist controversy is unreal, artificial, and strictly besides the point. So let us now consider the real relationship that exists between international and municipal law. Municipal law in international law. Now, as a general rule of international law, a state cannot justify the breaking of an international law by referring to its domestic laws. This means if a state's domestic law contradicts with international law before an international court, international law prevails. It would not be a defense that the state complied with its internal obligations and would have and so was excused from its obligations under under international law. Now, Article 27 of the Vienna Convention on the Law of Treaties, 1969, states that, Article 27, so far as treaties are concerned, a state or party may not invoke the provision of its internal laws as a justification for its failure to carry out an international obligation or agreement. Now, in the case of Polish nationals in Danzig, Polish nationals in Danzig. The court declared that a state cannot adduce as against another state its own constitution with a view of evading obligations incumbent upon it under international law or treaties in force. In the Lagrand case, two brothers, both Lagrand, who were German nationals living in the United States, were convicted of robbery and murder and sentenced to death. The 1963 Vienna Convention on Consular Relations required the competent authorities of the USA to inform them, which are the Lagrand brothers, without delay of their rights to communicate with the German diplomatic consulate, which the USA failed to do. The USA claimed its procedural default rule prevented it from abiding by the convention. The court held that the US could not plead its internal law as a defense for breaching its international obligation. Good. Now, also in the France Zones case, the Permanent Court of International Justice held that France cannot rely on her own legislation to limit the scope of international law. Also, in the Alabama Claims Arbitration, the British argued that because its constitutional laws did not provide it with the power to interfere with the private construction and sailing of the ships concerned, Great Britain had not violated its obligation as a neutral in the U.S. Civil War by allowing sailing and construction to occur. The arbitration held, the government of Her Britannic Majesty cannot justify itself for a failure in due diligence on the plea of insufficiency of the legal means of action which it possessed. Now, in certain instances, the international court may be able to decide a case solely based on a state's municipal law or together with international law. In such situations, the international court must apply the law in the same manner it would have been applied by the municipal court of the state. In the Brazilian loan case, the court indicated that once the court has arrived at the conclusion that it is necessary to apply the municipal law of a particular country, there seems no doubt that it must seek to apply it as would be applied in the courts of that country. This case involved a question of interpretation concerning certain Brazilian government loans, some bonds of which were held by French national. The loans were governed by Brazilian law. Now, we'll go through other cases in the next podcast, so do not worry. Now, despite the express supremacy of international law over municipal law before the international court, it does not render municipal law totally irrelevant before international tribunals or courts. Municipal laws help to understand and discover a state's legal position on a variety of topics important to international law, as the acquisition of nationality. For instance, in the Nottingham case, the court considered Liechtenstein's internal rules for granting citizenship in determining whether or not Liechtenstein could bring a claim on behalf of Nottingham against Guatemala, together with general principles of international law guiding the grant of nationality before it arrived at its decision. It also serves as evidence of a state's compliance or non-compliance of international law. Now, let's look at international law in municipal law. Before municipal courts, the application of international law is based on two doctrines, the incorporation doctrine and the doctrine of transformation. Let's look at the incorporation doctrine. This doctrine is favored by the naturalists and goes with the monist theory. It states that international law is part of municipal law of states automatically and needs no parliamentary ratification or transformation before it can be applied by the municipal courts of states. Municipal courts of states can apply international law. They can apply international law straight ahead, you know, without any ratification. Now let's go to the transformation doctrine. This is the view of the positivists and also goes with the dualist theory. It states that before any rule of international law can have any effect within the domestic jurisdiction, it must be expressly and specifically transformed into municipal law by the use of appropriate constitutional machinery such as an act of parliament. This can be done in two ways. Either a statute directly enacts the provisions of the international instrument, which will be set out as a schedule to the act. For example, the Diplomatic Relations Act 1962 of Ghana is a direct transformation of the provisions in the Vienna Convention on Diplomatic Relations 1961 and the Vienna Convention on Consular Relations. Or the statute may employ its own substantive provisions to give effect to a treaty, the text of which is not directly enacted. In such a situation, the international convention may be referred to in the long and short titles of the act and also in the preamble and schedule. The text of the international convention may be resorted to as an aid to interpretation of the statute. Good. Now, let's go to the application of customary international law before municipal courts. Now, in the United Kingdom, customary international law is regarded as automatically incorporated into the internal laws of the UK. It is regarded as part of the common law or its internal law, provided it is consistent with English law and its judicial decisions. Because in case there is a contradiction between a customary international law and an English statute or judicial decision, the latter shall prevail, which is the English statute. Lord Talbot stated in Beauvot and Babwit. Beauvot is B-U-V-O-T and Babwit, B-A-R-B-U-I-T, that the law of nations in its full extent was part of the law of England. This same principle was followed in Triquet and Bath. Triquet is T-R-I-Q-U-E-T and Bath is B-A-T-H. In Triquet and Bath, the defendant, a domestic servant of the Bavarian minister to Great Britain, successfully claimed diplomatic immunity under the customary international law. Lord Alverstone again stated in the West Rand Golden Mining Company and the Republic that whatever had received the common consent of civilized nations must also have received the assent of Great Britain, and as such would be applied by the municipal tribunal. Customary international law is part of common law. So, however, the point that an act of parliament supersedes customary international law before municipal courts was upheld in Mortensen and Peters, where Lord Dunedin, D-U-N-E-D-I-N, stated that statutes had predominance over customary law, and a British court would have to heed to the terms of the act of parliament, even if it involved the breach of a rule of international law. In Chon Chi Chuen versus the King, Lord Atkin stated in support of this notion that the court acknowledged the existence of a body of rules which nations accept among themselves. On any judicial issue, they seek to ascertain what the relevant rule is, and having found it, they will treat it as incorporated into domestic law, so far as it is not inconsistent with the rules enacted by statutes or finally declared by their tribunals. This is because statutes take precedence over common law, and customary international law is also regarded as a part of English common law. Now, what's the position of Ghana? Ghana's position does not differ from that of the United States and the UK. The Supreme Court of Ghana held in the Argentine warship case, that is the Ara Levitard, that customary international law is part of the common law of Ghana and hence can be enforced by Ghanaian courts. The case involved the arrest of an Argentine warship which was docking at the Tema Harbor by the Ghana Security Services under the order of a high court. The issue was whether the warship could be arrested. It is a rule under customary international law that warships enjoy sovereign immunity and it is not subject to arrest by foreign states or other sovereigns. The court, by upholding this principle, indicated that customary international law is part of the Ghanaian law, and as such, the court would decide the case based on this principle. The court therefore held that the warship enjoyed immunity and could not be subject to arrest. Now, application of treaties before municipal courts. Ghana's position again is the same as in the UK. As such, a treaty will only have effect in the Ghanaian court only after it had been incorporated into Ghanaian law by legislation or an act of parliament. This is in Article 75 of the 1992 Constitution. So this brings us to the end of the relationship between international and municipal law. See you on the next podcast.